"I want you to have it, Colonel," he replied flatly, keying off the frequency with a vicious snap of his chin and turning to— The ant struck him so hard it unhinged his senses. He was unaware of the blazer flying from his grasp, unaware of spinning through the air, unaware of falling. Only when he slammed to the hard floor of the gully behind the dune, some 15 meters below his perch, did he react. In agony, he put a gloved hand to the back of his neck. He had landed there, a concussion that would have killed an unsuited man instantly, and which should have broken his neck, but hadn't. "Why am I still alive?" he had time to wonder, before the shadow loomed over him and there was no time for anything but the struggle, and maybe no time even for that, for all was cloudy and indistinct, the ant hazy before him, but moving so quickly, hammering at him, smashing at his chest and faceplate. But he couldn't seem to move so quickly as he should, as if he were in a thick mist that held him but freed the ant to rake and pummel him from side to side. "My God! My God!" And then suddenly his eyes snapped into focus upon the coarse fibers of the ant's midsection, swinging before him, and the claws smacking down, vice-like, onto his upper arms, and the pincers. The pincers! One of the pincers was already into the waist seam, its curved scimitar's sharp edge slipping into the narrow slot and sawing machine-like back and forth within it. The image froze him. The image, this image, of death. Of death, damn it! Seconds, moments away. The seam wedged through and splitting, and him, Felix, all of him, his thoughts and memories and bones and intestines spewing out the tiny hole, pulsing crushed stone-frozen blood, jutting. "No! No!" he shouted in a disgusted, furious refusal. "No!" And he erupted. He had no purchase, no leverage, no position. The ant had all of those, leaning over and down upon him, claws and pincers wedging and tearing. But he had fear. He had that. Felix erupted with that. He shook and warped back and forth. He vibrated and wrenched, up and down and back and forth, none of it enough by itself, but none of it alone. He dragged one leg loose, got a knee up, got an armored boot planted firmly. He lifted up off the sand, bringing the ant with him, and slammed back down against it. The concussion tore one of the claws free of its grip. It tore the pincer clutching his waist seam off at the joint. Felix used his free arm to hammer at the ant's skull again and again and again and again, and then he was free from it and backing away, chest heaving. The ant stood erect too, coming at him again. But free now and ready, he stepped inside of the arc of the side-swiping claws and pounded upward into the thorax with three rocketing forearms in a row. The ant staggered straight back and fell full length into the sand. "All right," Felix thought, stepping forward to drive his boot into the brain case with a single, hurtling,
"Felix!"
shouted Schoen from the far end of the gully.
"What the hell do you think you're doing?"
He spun around toward her furiously, his chest still heaving.
"What the hell does it look like?" he demanded.
There were two warriors with her, as well as someone wearing one of those all-size pea suits. One of the warriors, he noticed, was holding his blaze rifle.
"I told you not to kill that ant,"
she said angrily. He pointed a shaking finger at the creature struggling to rise.
"You should have told him," he snapped back.
"Felix, I told you I wanted it alive."
"He's all yours, Colonel," he replied, stepping aside as it rose to its pads and lumbered toward them.
"Huh? Oh, ring, kill it."
This audiobook is continued on Disc 8